Oftentimes, there have been those who have spoken the truth, and yet they themselves are not right with God. It maybe have been a statesman that you can think about, or maybe someone in a place of power. The words that they used, or even the words that they quoted, they were truth. But yet, as far as they were concerned themselves, they were only empty words, and they're only from the lips outward. Or how often have you heard it said of an ungodly soul, maybe the drunkard, who knows deep down that what they're doing is wrong, and yet when they've got themselves maybe into a drunken stupor, they're able to quote the Bible. And they're able to quote the Scriptures. Now that is one who speaks the truth. But the sad reality is that they haven't experienced the healing or the comfort of God's Word in their own lives. And men and women, when we come to consider many of the chapters of the book of Job, then that is what we also find. The three men who came to Job in order to comfort him were to fail in that regard. But the words that they spoke, they were words of truth. But there was one who was the patient one. That was a man by the name of Elihu. And it seems that he also was the youngest one, for we have the detail given to us in chapter 32 that he waited until the others had spoken because they were the elder. Mind you, it must have taken much grace for him to keep silent, because we also read that their words only caused his wrath to be kindled. The time came when he was to open his mouth. What he said is found in these two chapters at least. Here's a man who speaks a lot of sense. I will even go further than that. Here's a man who speaks the truth. But yet it is from a heart that is not right with God. He still is a man of the world. And there's always a danger when you hear someone speak God's word out of context and not having experienced it themselves in their own heart. What we have in this passage that is before us tonight is a message of God's salvation to the lost sinner. For I suggest to you that Elihu and his message speaks of you tonight in this meeting without Christ and without hope in this world. For what you're faced with this evening, or at least the text of Scripture that I want to bring before you, what faces you is a solemn and eternal reality. It is death or deliverance. It is the pit or pardon. I wonder which is it going to be for you tonight. I draw your attention to the words of verse 24. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. I want you to consider firstly with me tonight the danger of the sinner. The danger of the sinner. In the course of these words, we're given a glorious picture of what it is for the sinner this evening without God's salvation. Doesn't matter how upright you are. Doesn't matter how decent a sinner you might be. Doesn't matter how good a church goer that your attendance at the house of God proves you to be. But a glimpse of these words revealed to us the exact and the true nature of the sinner born into this world. And therein lies the danger if they should proceed along the way of life in this state. You'll notice with me firstly that the sinner is one who is deaf to the voice of God. And I can already hear the objections coming from the sinner's heart. I can hear you say, preacher, I'm not deaf. I can hear you clear and loud. I can hear you preach the gospel, preacher. But my friend, I want to say to you tonight that you are one who is deaf to God's voice. Look at the words of the passage. Look at verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice. How many times has the Lord spoken to your heart about your sin? How many times have you known the Lord come strangely near, and your heart has been exposed through the preaching of the gospel, and you know your need of God's salvation? Ah, my friend, you've been deaf to God's voice, you see. God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. And the same truth is found in verse 16. Then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction. You see, God comes along, and it may be when you're cast upon your bed at night, and your sleep is taken from you, for God causes your ears to be opened. And just as he opened the heart of Lydia, so the Lord needs to uncover your ears, to open your ears to his voice, and to the warnings of the gospel. You see, you don't need to open the ears of one, unless they are deaf in the first place. And that is your state, sinner by birth. You're not only blind that you cannot see where you're heading spiritually, but alas, you're also deaf to the callings of the Master. And that is why you can sit meeting after meeting, hearing the preaching of the gospel, and yet still be unmoved, and still be undisturbed, and still be unrepentant in your sin. Aye, the hymn writer got it right where she said, O sinner, thine ears have been deaf to his voice. The calls of thy Master, thy Savior, have so wearied thee. Oh, what if they should weary him? Your ears have been deaf to his voice. But not only is the sinner deaf, but they're damned. They're lost already. You consider the language of these verses that we've read tonight, and especially those where you will find the verse speaks of the pit. You'll see that the sinner is one who is progressively lost. It is not merely the case that one day you will be lost if you continue on to go in the way you're going. But the words of John 3 surely remind us this evening that the soul who is unbelieving is one who is already lost and already is under the condemnation of God. For you see, John 3 and 36 says this, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God's wrath already abides on you tonight, unbeliever. You are already lost this evening. You're lost in your sin. You're already condemned by your sin. Yes, there is that great judgment still to come where all sin will be eternally judged. But understand something, dear soul, tonight. You are lost now. You are already on your way to that judgment. You're already on the way to that place where God has forgotten to be merciful. You see, that is your true and that is your exact condition and state before a thrice holy God. You're one who is deaf to God's voice. You're already lost, already damned, already condemned because of sin. The Word reminds us that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's no good in any one of us that would merit and one warrant God's mercy toward us. The Romans 3 reminds us and tells us that there's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. And so here is you, sinner, one who is deaf to God's voice, one who is destitute without God and Christ in this world, without hope, one who is already condemned because of sin, one who doesn't seek God or his salvation, but rather will do anything other than seek the Lord, and do anything other than seek his mercy and salvation. And yet it may be tonight is that you're one, and you think you're not one that is lost. When the preacher speaks about the lost soul, oh, it must be the drunkard, it must be the immoral person, it must be the one who is gone so far down into sin. It's not me. My dear friend, tonight, the soul without Christ is lost. And you're already condemned. But I want to take you further than that. Or I want to tell you tonight, you're one who's descending into the place called hell. See the words of my text. Deliver him from going down to the pit. Going down to the pit. You're on that downward path as I preach. A day nearer the pit than this time last evening. Every step you take without Christ is taking you down, down, and descending at that place. Can I illustrate it to you from another place in the Scriptures? I want you to think of the man whom the Good Samaritan must have come to and help. That man who had fallen among thieves by the wayside. That Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 is Christ. For only Christ can heal the sin-sick soul while others feel and while others pass by on the other side. Good Samaritan is Christ. The man fallen by the wayside is the sinner. But where has he come from? What path is he on? You'll find it in Luke 10, the very start of the passage. Verse 30, Jesus answering said, a certain man went down. That's the path he's on. He went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And anyone who knows the geographical setting of the Holy Land will know that Jerusalem is up on the heights. And of course, you'll know from your studies in the Old Testament where Jericho is. It's just there at the Jordan. It's just on the other side of the Jordan. It's in the lowlies. Here's a man geographically, and he's coming from the heights, and he's going down. And that's a picture of the sinner tonight. Like every sinner, he has come from the heights. The heights that Adam had in the garden before he sinned. The heights of being in perfect communion and fellowship with his God. And yet when sin entered into the world, Adam and every son of Adam's fallen race is descending down all the time. Descending down into the depths. You're going down. Like Jonah who heard the call of God and yet disobeyed that call. It says that in fleeing from the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa. That's what happens when you turn your back on God. That's what Adam did in the garden. He turned his back. Disobeyed God's command. Sin and enter into the world. Fleeing from the presence of God, he's going down. And man's doing the exact same thing tonight. You man or woman in this meeting, still in your sin, you're going down, descending into the pit. That's the danger. The danger in refusing the voice of the Lord. You're damned. You're lost. You're descending down further and further away from the Lord. Oh, be wise to your danger tonight. Be wise. Well, I have to take you a little further. I have to show you more. But not only is there the danger of the sinner in my text, but there is the destiny of the sinner. If it wasn't bad enough to consider your state and condition before God, then, dear soul, the words of our text cause us to go even further. For there is a destiny of the unbeliever to consider. That which speaks of their destiny is the word pit that is found in my text. Deliver him from going down to the pit. And a closer look at this chapter, you will consider with me that you'll find that word four times over at least in the courses of these verses. And if you consider each of those verses, then we're given quite a comprehensive picture of what it is meant by the pit and the character of it. The sinner tonight in their sin, in their blindness of their sin, in the depravity of their sin, is heading towards the pit of death. Of course, we know that in the midst of life there is death. God said to Adam, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The penalty of death was upon the disobeying of God's commandments. When Adam took of that forbidden fruit and when he disobeyed God, then sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But not only, my dear soul tonight, not only did Adam die physically and begin to die physically in the garden when he sinned, but he died spiritually. His will and his heart and his mind was turned away from God and towards sin. Aye, and he was in danger of dying eternally in that pit where sin will be eternally punished. God, who is a holy God, will punish sin. And there is the pit of death to which all sinners are heading to. And will be in if they reject God's offer of mercy for sin. Dear sinner in this meeting tonight, I want you to look very closely with me at another verse. I want you to look at the words of verse 18. I want you to read them to yourself just now. For it says, he keepeth back his soul from the pit. You who have rejected God's offer of mercy. You who have been deaf to the Lord's voice and salvation. You who would rather hold on doggedly to your sin. Can you think tonight? Can you think of any just reason why God should keep you out of that pit? Can you think of any reason why you're not already in that pit of death and that for all eternity? I don't think you could. For you see, I must say to you that nothing but the mercy and restraining grace of God has kept you out of that pit. Oh, preacher, I'm a churchgoer. I never feel to come to the house of the Lord on a Sunday. I know that. But those in the pit tonight, and they were the same. I'm a good person. I know that. But there are those in the pit tonight, and they're better than you. Any other reasons? My God might have kept you out of that pit. It's only the grace, only the mercy of God has kept you out of that pit. He has kept your soul back from the very precipice. Kept your soul back from the very edge of that pit. Why? So that you would have another opportunity of sitting under the preaching of the gospel, which is able to save your soul. That's why. God has been merciful to you. But it also is a pit of destruction. It is that place where the worm dieth not. The fire is not quenched. You look at the words of verse 30, you have another verse where the word is mentioned. To bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. And that speaks to us of a place of destruction from which the sinner needs to be delivered. For when God finally judges sin, he will cast the unbeliever along with the devil and his angels into that pit of destruction. It is that bottomless pit of what you read about in the book of the Revelation. If you turn there to chapter 14, you will see that it is out of which there comes the smoke of their torment, and it will be forever and ever. Revelation 14 and verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night. We worship the beast and his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Oh, how tragic, how terrible are those words, forever and ever. No escape. It's the pit of destruction. The pit will be where the sinner will be cast for all eternity from the presence of God. Into that place where there's no mercy. There's no answers to prayer. That place which is an ending. It's the pit of destruction for all who die in their sin. And all who die rejecting the offer of God's mercy through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, dear soul tonight, is that the pit to which you're heading to? Because of your sin, the pit, eternal destruction. You know something else?
want you to see it's also the pit of darkness. Verse 28 of our chapter. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Again, the words found there. And it suggests to us that there's no light in that place. But it is a pit of darkness from which the sinner needs to be delivered. And that would, of course, concur with the teaching of the New Testament and with the words of the Savior himself, where I draw your attention to consider that man. The man who went to the wedding feast and he hadn't got the wedding garment on. And the king came in to see the guests. And he was to see this man who had not the wedding garment on. A garment freely offered. A garment freely offered there at the very entrance to the wedding feast. But alas, this man went in without it. And he said, "Friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And although we read that the man was speechless, yet we also read that the Lord gave the command, or the king gave the command, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." That is to where you are heading in your sin this evening. It's a pit of eternal and everlasting and outer darkness. Oh sinner, consider your latter end tonight. I want that you would think solemnly about these eternal realities and about the well-being of your soul. That is the destiny to which you're progressing to. Sending down into that pit. And that for all eternity. Will you not seek to heed the message of the gospel to your heart tonight? Will you not seek to heed the warnings this evening as they're offered to you in the gospel? You've already seen the danger. You've already seen now the destiny. As to where you're heading to. If you haven't got Christ as your Savior, thank God I don't stop there. For I want you to see the deliverer for the sinner. While our text has shown us the natural state of every man born of Adam's race, and while we have seen clearly the fearful pit to which you're heading, yet thank God there is a message of hope found in our text. And that message is all of God's grace. We're looking at it, says, "Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom." Throughout the verses we have already read tonight, the verses we've already looked at in this passage, there is one thing which is common in them all. And that is, it is God is seen to be the one who does the calling. It is God who opens the ears that they may hear. It is God who restrains the sinner from falling over the very precipice into the pit. And it is God who has a message for the sinner. What is that message? Deliver him from going down to the pit. Why? I have found a ransom. And it is as if that God is scouring throughout all creation for one who will be the Savior, for one who will be the ransom for the lost, and for the condemned, and for the damned sinner, and there's none to be found. But that one who will be the ransom is God's only begotten Son. For he that spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There was no other good enough to pay the price for sin. It is Christ from all eternity past who was to pay, come to pay the price of man's sin. It was Christ who from eternity past would come to deliver them from the pit of hell. It was Christ alone who would willingly go to the cross of Calvary so as to lay down his life in the sinner's place. It was Christ alone who would descend into the depths of that pit, taking upon himself our sinful nature and becoming sin. He who knew no sin, yet he became sin for us. And it was he alone who would pay our hell so we wouldn't have to go there. It was Christ alone who had shed his precious incorruptible blood as an atonement for our sin. For that is what the word ransom has to do with. Christ was to offer that once for all sacrifice for sin. that you, sinner, might be redeemed, that you might be bought out of the prison house of sin, that you might be brought out and set free, never to go back in again. God has purchased our redemption through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The deliverer is none other than the mediator between God and man. I want you to look with me just at the verse before my text tonight, where it connects it. It says, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, that is God's uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom. There's a great messenger of the covenant whom we delight in tonight. But I want to tell you there's more than that in that verse 23. You see, he is the interpreter. And an interpreter is one who stands in between. Or in the words of C.H. Spurgeon, an interpreter is one who can speak two languages. And there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he can speak the language of heaven. Why? Because he is God. He is eternal. He is infinite. He is unchangeable. He is everything that God is, for he is God. But he also can speak the language of man. For he left heaven's glory to come down to this earth, that he might take our nature, that he might walk amongst men, and one day that he might die for sinful men and women such as you and I. The good news, sinner, tonight is there is a deliverer. There is one who can save you from your sin. There's one tonight who can deliver you from the pit. And I want you to see it. And I want you to tell you in the words of verse 23, he is one among a thousand. None like him. There's none like him in all the earth. There's none like Christ. My deliverer is chiefest among 10,000. There's none like Christ tonight. Will you seek him this evening by faith? You see, you can know the miracle of salvation. For what the Lord does for the sinner is seen in these verses. We have noticed it. He calls. It is my prayer that you would hear the call of God tonight to your soul. He calls. He causes the sinner to be convicted of their sin. And they're troubled upon their bed. That's the work of regeneration, where before there was deafness and deadness. Now they're brought to consider their state. And they're brought to consider the holiness and the justice of a holy God. Then there's redemption. Verse 28, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit. That's what redemption is, as deliverance. There's a delivering of the soul from death unto life, from the power of darkness unto the power of God. You can know what it is to have your soul redeemed tonight, delivered, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And then there's the reward. Verse 30, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. They're enlightened with the light of the living. My dear friend, if you want light tonight, if you want life, then they both are to be found only in Christ. He is one who can wrought such a work in your heart tonight by the miracle of his matchless grace. I wonder, will you come? I wonder, will you be saved now? Instead of the pit, come and be pardoned, washed in the Savior's blood. Instead of death, come and know deliverance, and that for all eternity. The message is, deliver him from going down to the pit, for I found a ransom. May you find him tonight, who is altogether lovely. He is one among a thousand. Come to Christ and be saved. Don't play around with your soul's salvation any longer. You're in danger already. You're heading to that awful destiny. But you've also heard of the Deliverer tonight. Come to Christ. But may God help you to do so. The Lord bless His word. Our hearts this evening.